or concrete. It may go well with you and you may enjoy long life as, oh, maybe that's not actually that vague. Come to think of it, that's pretty specific. It may go well with you and you may enjoy long life. That seems like something most kids that want to grab onto. I want a little bit of that. I want it to go well with me and I want long life. Let's say, Michael, you could stop that now. So what you want to do is obey your parents, which seems simple enough, but it's not always that simple. Sometimes it's actually quite complicated. Here's the thing, though. And so parents get this. I don't think that teenagers want to disobey. I don't think that they contemplate in their spare time, how am I going to disobey this week? I got to figure out a way to disobey my parents because if I obey them, can you imagine what would happen? My reputation goes downhill. There goes my street cred and I got nothing. And no, I don't think that they do that. I think that they contemplate, okay, I really want to obey my parents, but it's hard. There's pressure at school. There's pressure from teachers. There's pressure from their friends. There's pressure going here, pressure going there. But also there's this thing. The thing that they struggle with is the same thing that we struggle with, right? Paul is the super apostle, right? He wrote most of the New Testament. Paul had it going on. In Paul, who basically pushed the church out of Jerusalem, the first church. This is the guy who pushed the first church out of Jerusalem and made it spread all throughout kind of Africa and Asia in that area. And he pushed the church all over the place. And this is what Paul had to say about it. He said this. He said in Romans chapter 7. Do I have this one? I don't remember if I have this one or not. Romans chapter 7, he says this. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Okay, maybe that didn't make sense. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the same thing. Young people struggle with the same thing that we, those of us who've been alive a few more years, struggle with. Young people struggle with the good that they want to do. They really want to go to school. They really want to earn good grades. They really want to do the things. They really want to go ahead and empty the dishwasher and clean up their room. And they really want to earn good grades. And they really want to be a blessing. And yet, sometimes there are things that go on. And sometimes the good things that they want to do, they end up not doing. But the bad things that they don't want to do, they go on doing. And it's the same thing we struggle with as adults. But we don't necessarily have our parents living in our house reminding us of that. Does that make sense? Like, we moved out, and so the struggles with those things are no longer an issue for us because our parents aren't right there saying, hey, will you put your dirty laundry for the 153rd time? Would you put that in the laundry room for crying out loud? And I told you, every time the dishwasher's full, your job is to empty it. Why do I have to remind you over and over and over? No, we're adults. We're like, you know what? The socks can just stay there. It'll be okay. Nobody will die as a result of the socks being on the floor for another hour and a half. But when you're a kid, it may not be the same thing, right? So sometimes we work diligently towards something that is really hard to grasp. So, Timo, would you turn one blink of lights on for me, the nearest one up here? So I think sometimes that students, it's not that they want to disobey so much as it's the same thing. They struggle with the same things that we as adults struggle with. And it's not super easy for them. And so what we try to do is we try to enable them the same way that the people in our lives enable us. Now, some of us as adults, we've got like mentors or we've got accountability partners, and I know I do. And so I go in and I talk to my accountability partner and I sit down with him, and so I have to kind of go through my dirty laundry a little bit, say, well, this is going on, and I didn't, you know. And so we talk about things like Bible reading and prayer time and how I'm treating my wife and how I'm treating my children and all of those kinds of things. And I still struggle. Sometimes it's the things I don't want to do that I go on doing. And it's the things that I want to do that I don't do. You know, I want to spend more time with my kids. I want to read my Bible more often. I want to spend more time in prayer. and it's the things that I want to do that I don't do. It's not that kids are going out of their way to try to be horrible. But kids, you're not off the hook, okay? Here's the thing. At the bottom, see this? Read it. Read it with me. Ready? Thanks be to... Oh, you guys are horrible at this. Let's try again. Ready? Thanks be to...
God.
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why are we giving thanks? Because he has freed us from that. We're not trapped in that. We're not bound by that. Here's the thing, guys. I'm going to talk to you guys right over here. You don't have to do that. Just because the easy thing is there for you doesn't mean you have to do the easy thing. Because most of the time, the easy thing is the wrong thing. And you've been enabled through Jesus Christ to do the hard thing that is the right thing. You've been enabled. You've been given the power and the authority to do the right thing. And the right thing is to obey your parents, which is easy to say but hard to do. But if you obey them, it's a beautiful thing. Watch this again, right? Can we go back to the first slide? Right. The promise is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. And what do you have to do to earn the promise? You have to obey your parents. And for some of you, obeying your parents is not so bad because you've got parents that are cool. They're with it. They're there. Like, they understand what it's like to be a teenager, and they understand what it's like to do the hard stuff, and so they give you grace when you need it, but they kick your butt, because sometimes you need that too, right? Sometimes you do stupid stuff, and you need them to discipline you, right? Nod if you're with me, yeah? We've got a few people that are like, yeah, okay, sometimes I'm dumb, and I do stupid stuff, and I need my parents to kick my butt. But some of you aren't with me. I want to show a video for you right now. And in this video, it talks. Some of these kids are talking about what it's like for them to be alive with their parents. So watch this video for me real quick.
My mother, she's been a very good woman since day one. But my father's a story.
My relationship with my parents is pretty crappy.
Nobody's family's perfect. I don't like my dad at all.
My mom hates me.
I love my mom today.
My dad's lush.
My parents are at like their wits' end.
My relationship with my parents is awesome.
They've always been good parents, I think.
I don't want to turn out to be like my parents at all, period.
Here we go.
What was your home life like?
My home life.
Dysfunctional. Very comfortable.
Passionate. Boring.
They grew me up really good.
Difficult.
My biological parents left me when I was about the age of 5.
I grew up in a Christian home.
I have both parents.
My father, he died when I was 6 years old.
My real father abandoned me and my stepdad died.
I'm happy to have a father.
I think my mom said this weekend that she really loves me.
Family means someone other than related to me.
I basically adopted my friends in this park as family.
I always talk about my parents' marriage, and I say that I want to have a marriage like this.
To describe as my family right now, there's a guy with a blue mohawk.
They try to boss me around.
They're old.
They make me go to school.
They're always in my business.
Over strictness.
They're always going through my stuff.
Hey, I'm 18.
I'm smart enough to make my own decisions.
Like, I can do what I want here in Switzerland.
I know what's right from wrong.
They don't let me do things that other kids' parents let them do.
They try to make me have a curfew.
They try and argue back that most things don't start till very late.
They say my curfew's midnight, so, and I'm like...
She says you have to come home with the last train.
To, like, vent, because I get so angry.
So she gets on my nerve really easy.
I guess God says you should obey your parents even when they have, like, totally stupid rules.
People say I sort of have an authority problem.
I'm a stubborn person to be around.
When I step out of line,
they get out the belt and they spank me.
They're there to discipline me.
Or most people say that it's abuse, but Ron said no. A hard head makes a soft butt. I'm tired of having a hard head.
My parents is, how would you say, divorced.
With my father, I see him every 2 months.
My dad lives in Croatia.
He is in Austria.
And last year, I was seeing my dad once.
It's not easy for me.
I have missed a lot of care because I didn't have my father.
He often beat my mother.
It was very hard.
when he hits my mother, I feel like he hits me. And that hurts me very much, yeah.
They don't understand me.
The main things we had misunderstandings about were mainly my sexuality.
I'm the only one who believes in Jesus Christ.
Me and my dad disagree about a lot of things.
When I talk about Jesus is the best, and so there are difficult times.
It's very hard, yeah, to live with such a parents.
Who are you to tell me what to do when you've never even been there?
They want for me to be perfect, but I'm not perfect, yeah.
Parents were extremely abusive.
My dad was always drunk whenever we went anywhere.
My mom kicked me out 4 days after I turned 18 and then changed the locks.
They got to the point of actually wanting to sell us kids for drugs.
It's almost like babysitting my dad a lot because, you know, he would always be out of it.
I've taken her wedding ring and sold it.
That just makes me mad.
That really f***ed her off.
And it upsets me that had to be part of my life.
I find it really easy to talk with my parents.
They know everything I do.
They understand where I'm coming from.
They know the life that I've lived.
She's my mom, so I gotta listen to her.
I can share with them everything I do and be completely honest with them, so they're like my best friends too.
They're there for me for anything.
They never give up on me.
God is like the glue that holds us all together.
I'm really thankful that they care about me and I'm not abandoned and an orphan and that I actually have parents.
To get a good relationship with my mom, I think it would take Jesus coming down to earth again. I don't think that's happening
anytime soon. So not everyone has the same parents, I guess, is maybe the moral of the story. I love what the one kid said. He said, my mom told me it's not abuse, and she said a hard head makes a soft butt. But, oh, I get that now. So anyway, not that that was funny. What I wanted to say is that so we don't all have the same parents. For some of us, obeying our parents is easy, like I mentioned, because our parents, they at least have some understanding of what it's like to be a teenager. They have some understanding of what reasonable behavior ought to be, and so they try to set up rules that move us towards that. Right, Taylor? Yeah, and so, but for some of us, it's not always that easy. So for some of us, we have really difficult home lives, and there are people in this room whose parents may not know Jesus at all, and they may have this whole other set of expectations that's not even realistic. Some of you have parents whose their expectations are not realistic. And so what do you do about that? And I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about that. In the military, the law, and I don't mean the law like that's what's said. No, the law, like it's written into law and signed by Congress. The law is, if your superior officer gives you an order, you obey it. You don't have flexibility. It's not like, well, my superior officer is a little bit cuckoo, so I'm not going to obey that order. That's not how it works. And some of you have been in the military. You know what I'm talking about. That's not how it works. You don't decide which orders to obey and which orders to disobey. The law is you obey the orders. The only exception to the law is if it's an unlawful order, then you don't have to obey it. So, for example, if your superior officer decides that he wants to get stoned and he sends you down to the corner to buy you a bunch of pot, you don't have to obey that order because that's not lawful. It's not lawful for you to buy marijuana. So that's an order you don't have to obey. In God's land, it's very much the same way. If there's a lawful order that your parents give you, it's your job to obey it. And some of you are going, yeah, but you don't know my parents. My parents are nuts. They ask me to do weird stuff. They ask me, like, some of you are thinking watching your siblings is weird. It's really not, okay? If your parents ask you to watch your siblings, that's okay. Watch your siblings, okay? If your parents ask you to do weird stuff, if it's lawful weird, it's okay. For some of you, your parents say have weird rules about food. Ready for this? Okay, ready? Obey them. They have weird rules about your room. Obey your parents. Yeah, but you don't know, Pastor Chris, my parents have really weird rules. I mean, they're not normal rules. Are they illegal or immoral? Are your parents telling you that you have to go sleep with your boyfriend? Because then you can say, no, I'm not going to obey that one. But that's probably not what your parents are saying. In fact, your parents are probably saying just the opposite. because your parents have brains in their heads. And they're probably saying, don't do that. In fact, maybe they're saying, I don't even want you seeing that person. Well, what? If your parents tell you that that person is not okay for you to be seeing, if they're saying, don't date that person, don't date that person. But Pastor Chris, I love them. You don't get it. I'm in love. Dude, you're like 16. Shut up. Obey your parents. I promise you this. If this is about your love, obey your parents, and here's why. You want that to work out? You want that relationship to go the distance? You need to obey your parents, and it will set you up in a position where you are in God's blessing. And if that relationship was intended to be, it will come back around, and your parents will be okay. Did you guys get that? This section. Oh, I already preached to you guys. How about this section over here? Because you're all just like spacing off. If that relationship was intended to be, then you obey your parents and you terminate the relationship and you go on down the road. And if that was God breathed, if he wanted you to be in that relationship, he'll bring it back. And it'll be blessed. Because I'll tell you this, and your parents will answer, because either they've been through it or they know people who have. The last thing you want is a relationship that's cursed, because you'll get down the road and you'll think everything's good, and at some point in time, that relationship will implode, and then life will really suck. You think it's hard to break up now? Try being married for 4 years, having a kid. Now all of a sudden, it's not so simple just to say, hey, I can't be with you. Now you've got this whole life together that you have to end because you started down a road that wasn't blessed by God because your parents didn't say it was all right. And I don't care if your parents are right or wrong. That's inconsequential because they have to answer to God for that. So if your parents send you to buy drugs, yeah, you can disobey that one. But if your parents say, you know what, I don't want you to go to that church, don't go to that church. Really? You mean if you, yeah, I mean that. Now, if your parents tell you you can't have a relationship with Jesus, you can obey that one. But if your parents say go to this, but don't do that, obey your parents. Stop dating this person, obey your parents. Watch your siblings, obey your parents. And this is the thing. Some of you guys you're blowing me off right now. I can just like sense it in my bones. You're blowing me off. You don't know my parents. I don't know your parents. And some of you guys have rotten parents. So look at me and watch this. Ready for this? The best testimony is the testimony you bring to your parents. If your parents don't know Jesus right now, but you want them to know Jesus, you want to know how you can win them for Jesus, you want to know, Michael? Obey your parents. You show up and you love them, whether they're doing right or wrong, whether they're asking you to do crazy stuff that you don't even like, oh, I don't know why she brought that up, do it anyway. I'll tell you a story. There's a kid, his name was David Nasser, and David Nasser was born in Iran. And David Nasser was born in Iran during a time when there was a huge fallout, and there was all kinds of political weirdness going on, and there was this religious leader who took over Iran. And so he and his parents fled, and they went to the United States. And David Nasser said, religion is screwed up. It messed up my whole country. And he ran from it. He didn't want to have anything to do with religion. And eventually he got into college, and he didn't want to have anything to do with religion. Like, religion is dumb. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But he had a friend, and his friend invited him to come to church. And he's like, dude, I don't want anything to do with religion. And his friend's like, dude, it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And he's like, yeah, whatever. This is just words. You see those words, I say these words. It's still religion. And his friend talked to him and talked to him and talked to him and watched this. Then his friend said, there's cute girls. And he was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So David Nasser shows up. This is his testimony. I'm not making this up. He shows up to church, and he gets there, and he hears the preacher, who sounds like he's yelling, but he's actually kind of passionate. I don't know who you could model that after. But he gets all excited, and the preacher's just hammering it, and David Nasser's getting convicted by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to his heart, and he says, you know what? This is different. I've never experienced anything like this. That night, David Nasser gives his heart to Jesus Christ. And his parents said, you give your heart to Jesus, because they were Muslim. You give your heart to Jesus, I don't want anything to do with you. His parents are like, no, this is not okay. No, we're Muslim. And he's like, Dad, we're not even practicing Muslim. He's like, I don't care. Doesn't matter. So David Nasser goes along, and he's got to figure out life, because his parents have said, no, I'm Muslim, and you're Christian now. So forget it. It's over. So David Nasser lives his life, and he's still trying to obey and honor his parents. Time goes by, time goes by, time goes by. David Nasser's life continues to grow in strength. He becomes wise. He understands. He is loved, and he is cherished by the people around him. And they continue, his parents watch his life as it grows and matures, and they watch him and how much he is loved, and he loves other people, and his life continues to be joyous. And they're watching this, and they're watching this, and they're watching this, and they're watching this, and they're watching this. And they say, okay, David, tell us how to do this. We want a part. And he leads his parents to Jesus. Pastor Chris, my parents are crazy. You don't even know they are crazy. And they don't even know Jesus. You want them to know Jesus? Do you want to get to heaven without them? Obey your parents. Be an example. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy. It says this. It says, don't let anyone look down on you because you were young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. This verse is taken out of context all over the place. People use it to say whatever they want it to say. But here's what it says. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can set an example. You can be the example. Maybe you're the only example in your house. There's no being off the hook. Speaking of off the hook, parents, it's your turn. Y'all thought you were off the hook? No. I got something for you too. This is for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ready for this? Fathers. Oh, yeah, I switched it to parents. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Yeah, there's a typo. Forgive me. Do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is easy, right? The exasperate part just means that you're not supposed to make them so like crazy frustrated for no reason. One of the things that this spoke to my heart was, I'm not allowed to say no out of convenience. Oh, Lord, help me. Have you had your kids come to you? Parents, I'm talking to you now. Have you had your kids come to you? Hey, Mom, but there's a really cool thing and I just want to do it. You're just like, no. You haven't even listened to the word they said. All you know is you had that kind of day and it's been at the end of it and you're tired and you don't even want to listen to what they got to say. You just want them to go sit down and watch television for 5 minutes, please. And you don't even, like, can't. You got to. This is for me. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe I'm the only one like this. Maybe I'm the only one that gets like this. Jesus, forgive me. But sometimes my kids come to me and I'm just like, no. And then they're like, why? I'll figure out why later. Leave me alone. Right? Maybe. Okay. So there's my wife's the only one laughing. The rest of your parents, none of you ever did this. Okay. So some of the teens are like, oh, no, my parents did that a few times. I remember I asked them this thing, and they didn't even listen. They just said no, and I didn't even know why. When I asked why, they were like, leave me alone. So maybe it's just for me, but what I have to do, I force myself to do this, put down the book or turn off the television or quit unloading the dishwasher or whatever it is that's going on. Stop. Take their little hands in your face, your little face in their hands if you need to. Okay, tell me what it is. Okay, I really want to go outside and chop my brother's arm off. No, you can't do that. That's not okay. But at least you thought about it, right? I really want to go outside and count how many bugs are on the sidewalk. Yeah, that'd be fine. You go ahead and, you know, don't say no out of convenience. Actually, listen to what they have to say first and then move forward. How many of you would appreciate that as kids? Anybody in the room that would appreciate? My own kids are like, yeah, Dad, it'd be great if you did that. Lord, help me. Taylor's like, huh? What? Something just happened, huh? Okay, instead, bring them up in the instruction and training of the Lord. I transpose those. Take that home, fix it, bring it back to me next week. Training and instruction. And I was thinking about this, and one of the things that came to my mind about training and instruction was this idea of purpose. What are we alive for? What's the whole reason for our existence? And for me, the reason for our existence is we love God, and we love others, and we know God, and we make him known. Those are some of the things that I think about that are the most important kind of things, don't you think? Loving God, pretty important. Yeah. And loving others. Yeah. Loving God. And one of the things I came to is the loving God part. Okay, that's sort of hard. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really easy. Sometimes it's super easy. When you think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, I think loving God's really easy right then. I go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That part's pretty easy for me. Loving others, not always so easy. Sometimes you're loving others. So I was thinking about this, and what's maybe the one thing that you absolutely have to teach your kids in order to get them to love others. And it came to mind like a lightning bolt, forgiveness. If you want to, so students, you're hearing this? Forgiveness. Look, there's like a whole column of students here. Forgiveness. And there's two sides to forgiveness. And parents, we have to teach our kids how to forgive. Siblings sin against each other probably daily. Almost all the time. Maybe continuously without fail for your kids. I don't know. Sometimes for my kids too. Sorry, Jeff, not always. But forgiveness is so, if you want to love others, forgiveness is so important. So I wanted to get this into our hearts as a group, right? There's this thing about forgiveness, and it's called forgive and forget, okay? And I just wanted to say this. It's really important, Jocelyn. So forgive and forget. Yeah, I did call you out. So look at my face, because this is really important. So stop your texting for just 2 seconds here. Look at my face. Look at my face. Here we go. Ready? Forgive and forget. This is my deep thoughts about the phrase forgive and forget. Ready for this? Jose, look. Ready? Forgive and forget. This is my true unbridled feelings about forgive and forget. Forgive and forget's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's the first thing you have to understand. This is what Pastor Rick Warren, I don't know if you guys have heard of him. Pastor Rick Warren comes up with one-liners all the time, and this is the one-liner that stuck with me. I really like what he had to say. He said this. He said, forgiveness is by grace. Trust is by works. So if you have sinned against somebody, and you go to them, they ought to forgive you freely with no strings attached. But does that mean that they're going to trust you right away? No. Heck no. And if somebody sins against you, the same thing has to be true. Sometimes people do dumb stuff. They just do. Sometimes it's dumb stuff on purpose, and sometimes it's dumb stuff by not doing what they should have done. People sin against each other all the time. Forgiveness ought to be a free gift, and forgiveness is this. Ready? It's saying, because we have this sense of justice. We're Americans. Justice. Justice in the American way. It just goes together. We're Americans, by golly. No, this is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is saying, I'm no longer responsible for justice in this matter. But here's the really cool thing. God is. And he's way better at it than we are. So to forgive means I'm releasing this. I'm not going to carry this around anymore. But God's going to take care of it. God's going to be there, and he's going to take care of it. We need to teach our children this. Maybe we need to learn this. Forgiveness is a free gift. No strings attached. Doesn't mean I trust you. It just means it's not my responsibility anymore. Now, how do you get forgiveness? This is something that we had to go over in our house a few times, and we're still working on it, and I'm still working on it, frankly. And here's to me the biblical understanding of how to get forgiveness. So this is what we need to teach our kids. Ready? Here's the thing. There's three parts to this. Everybody put up three fingers. This is good. You guys know how to count. I'm so impressed. I'm excited. Some of you went like this. I'm good with that. I can add. So three, here's the thing. First step, you have to actually admit that you did something wrong. This is my favorite kind of apology. Like, okay, we're going to pretend that this particular music stand is my friend. And for whatever reason, my friend and I are in a fight. And this is how boys fight. Shut up. No, you shut up. And they hit, right? They hit. Usually with a closed fist or whatever, they hit. I remember one time when I was a kid, I had a friend. I totally skipped. He was like 4'6". No, I had a friend, and I was not a violent type kid, but I remember one time distinctly. He and I had a fight, and he was standing up in front, and his door was right there, and I was sitting on the bed. And he was just laying into me, being a stupid boy, calling me names and all this stuff. And my best friend. I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. And he's just going off. And my temperature is rising and rising and rising. And some of you guys are familiar with this idea, right? Your temperature is rising and rising and rising. And finally, I'm done. So I outweighed him for probably 50 pounds. I just stood up. And I stuck my shoulder right under his ribs, lifted him completely off the ground, slammed him into the door, and then dropped him like a sack of potatoes. And then I just walked away like, I'm all done. I'm all done listening to that nonsense. Well, it doesn't take very long, and you realize maybe that wasn't quite the appropriate response. Might not have been the best response, especially since it took him 30 seconds to catch his breath. You hear that? You know that kind of sound? Anyway, so he gets his first step of forgiveness. Boys and girls, put up one finger. Parents, you too, just to participate, because you're here now. You're in for a penny, in for a pound. So first step, you have to actually admit you did something wrong. This is the forgiveness that I see all the time, particularly at school. Sorry. Can you, like, that? Oh, that covered it perfectly. Sorry, what? What? First step, you have to admit you did something wrong. Dude, I hurt you. I lifted you off the ground and smashed you into the wall and hurt you. And that probably wasn't okay. Admit you did something wrong. You have to admit you did something wrong. You have to admit you did something wrong. You have to admit you did something wrong. Okay? Second part of forgiveness. This is the part we so often forget, because usually people will do the first part. Okay, I messed up, and I'm sorry. The second part, look at this. Boys and girls, by the way, this goes for us and Jesus too. Ready? Second part. This is the second part for us and Jesus too. When we sin against God, this is what he expects from us. Second part. I won't do it again. That's the part called repentance. That's the part where you say, I know that I injured you, and I did it on purpose. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And this is the part, boys and girls, look at me. You actually have to mean it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Third part of repentance. Third part of forgiveness. Then you have to actually ask, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? That's what we ought to be doing with Jesus too, by the way. Anybody, look at me. Anybody ever sin? Okay. Everybody except Bridget. Tristan, this is it, dude. Ready? This is how you get forgiven. You're talking to Jesus. This is how you get forgiven. Part one, I messed up. And then you tell them what you did. Part two, I know it was wrong and I won't do it again. Part three, will you forgive me? And this is the beautiful thing about part three. Before you even get the words out of your mouth, Jesus is like, yes. Will you forgive? Yes. But Jesus, I didn't even finish my sentence. He's like, I know. I know the beginning from the end. Boy, I knew you were going to ask, will you forgive? Yes, of course I forgive you. And that's how we ought to be with one another. In fact, it was so important to Jesus, he made it part of that prayer that he taught his disciples, right? Part of the prayer. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. Made it part of that prayer. It's pretty important to Jesus. He wanted us to get that. This is the other part that I really want you guys to get, because I know that you love this part. This is the best part of parenting. By the way, students, this is the best part of parenting. I'm being facetious. The best part of parenting is when you discipline. When you discipline. Here's what the Bible says. Justin's all excited about discipline. He's going to do like a discipline dance, aren't you? Yes. Let's throw down. We'll do a discipline dance. This is the best part about discipline right here. This is the message right here. Message translation says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. There's a line from a movie that I like. The movie is called A Knight's Tale. You guys like that movie? It's a great movie. I like the movie A Knight's Tale. And in The Knight's Tale, there's the line from the movie, and it says this. It says, when the dad is sending the kid off, there's this scene, right, on the little ferry thing, which is basically a dock with a chain. I don't know how that's a ferry, but anyway, have you seen the movie? No, you never seen the movie. Okay, so just listen. It's good. This is good. So this dad is sending off his boy, and the boy's, I don't know, 10, maybe, something like that. And he's sending the little kid off, and he's on the boat, and he's headed across the English Channel. And he's sending the boy off with this knight, and the boy's like, but how will I know my way home? And the dad says, just follow your feet. Which, what? There's no GPS in my toes. What does that mean? Just follow your feet. This is exactly what it's talking about. Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. If you raise them up and you train them up the way you ought, then when they're old, they won't be lost. They won't be lost. But that doesn't put the kids off the hook either. As a parent, one of the things that terrifies me, and this is just me, but one of the things that terrifies me, I love my kids. I got three kids, okay? Two of them are in the room, and I won't embarrass them, but I have three children, and I love my children. It was natural. They came out, and I loved them, and I wanted the best for them, and I wanted to encourage them. I wanted to bring them up. I wanted to just, you know, take them in my pocket and take them with me everywhere, because I love my kids, right? But there are times when I'm tired, and I just want them to leave me alone, or I just want some time, or I sometimes snap at them just because I'm tired, or maybe I've had a hard day, and I come home, and I'm grumpy, or whatever it is, and there's something inside of me that says you still have to be good to your kids, and it's found in Revelation chapter 20, and this is it. So kids, this pertains to you too. This is really good stuff. Revelation chapter 20 is after the world's over. Okay, the world is over, and Jesus is sitting on a great white throne. And I don't know what that looks like, but if my imagine is anything, it's got to be spectacular. It's a great white throne. And Jesus is sitting there, and the Bible says, and then he opened the first book, and the first book was the book of life. And in the book of life is the name of everyone who said yes to Jesus. And I'm good with that part. My name's written there. I'm good with that part. And it says in Revelation chapter 20, if your name's not written in that part in the book of life, then you're tossed into the lake of fire, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Just saying. In fact, the lake of fire has another name. It's called the second death. But then after that, there's another book that's open, and the other books, plural, that are open. And Jesus, then he sits on his great throne of judgment, and then he says, and then he talks about everything we've done. Which is kind of terrifying. I don't mind saying, like, oh, Lord, when that part comes, I'm going to be hiding behind the couch. Right? I've done some dumb things in my life. But here's the part that's scary for me. Here's the part that just gets my heart. This is the thing I think about this. When I'm standing before my Lord, and I don't think we're going to have a lot of choice. I don't think we're just going to be able to run away. Pretty sure God's got, you know, like some power there, like a Star Trek tractor beam or something. And so we're going to be there. I'm terrified of this. When he says to me, Chris, what did you do with the children that I gave you? What did you do with the children I gave you? There's not going to be any barrier between us and Jesus. There's just going to be him in his eyes. He's going to say, what did you do with the children I gave you? And I want to be able to say, I did my best, my Lord. And there are times when I can say that and there are times when I can't. But it keeps me up at night. Like, I think about these things. What did you do with the children I gave you? Oh, my Lord. So here's the thing, children. I want to bring this back to you. If you look at this, it says, parents, that's not the right word. Don't exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training instruction of the Lord. And then where's the promise part? The kids get a promise. And as a parent, I'm a little offended. Where's my promise? Train your children up in the way that they should go and give them the instruction of the Lord and you get a Maserati. There's some kids in the room. And you get a brand new house. You get, and you'll never have a broken leg. Where's my promise? I don't want much, but something, right? Train your kids up in the way that they should go and then you get to be a parent. That's the promise for us. Wait a minute, that's not fair. And so what holds us to that is just, watch this, children. Look at me. Look at my face, kids. We don't get a promise. So what holds us to this? Ready for this? This is it. This is the only thing. Love. It's love. If your parents are doing this, it's because they love you. There's no promise in it for them. Kids get a promise. It will go well with you. And you will live long. Parents, yeah, not so much. Not so much for you. You don't get that. So, if that's what holds us to this, this idea that we love our kids anyway, and this idea that at the end of this, we have to stand up and answer for them. We have to answer for what we've done with our children. Then let me say this also. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Didn't even know the word stupid was in the Bible, did you? It's right there. Proverbs chapter, this is so much fun, right? The word stupid's in the Bible. Did you know that? It's right there. It's right there. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Okay. But he who hates correction, what does it mean to be corrected? It means to be disciplined. Corrected means to be disciplined. But whoever hates correction is stupid. Interesting. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son. Wow, that's harsh language. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. See, the rod in those days was an instrument of correction. Not that you beat the snot out of your kids every night. Okay? But He who spares, if you don't discipline your kids, what you're saying is you don't really care about them. You don't really care about them. You have to discipline them. You have to discipline them. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. We have a pretty good example of what it means to be a father. It's the way Father God treats us. And he disciplines us all the time. In fact, if he didn't love us, he wouldn't discipline us, because he never breaks his word. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. We have to do this part. It's the super fun part, right, kids? Right, kids? You're all like, I don't know what kind of sick, twisted mind you're living in, but no. Okay, one more time. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Be earnest and repent. Discipline ought to lead to repentance. Okay, look up here. Everybody look up here. I'm almost done. Dear heavens. You guys have hung out with me for a long time, and I appreciate your patience. And I'm almost done. There's just a few more things I want to get to. I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. This is so important. This is so critical. Okay? It says that you have to discipline. It says you have to discipline. What does it all come down to, though? In all of this, being a parent and being a child, what does it all come down to? Comes down to love. Comes down to love. If you love your parents, it's easier to obey them. It's easier to follow them. It's easier to do what they've asked you to do because you have an understanding. If you love your kids, it's easier to set rules and boundaries that make sense, and it's easier to discipline them because you know that if you don't discipline them, they're going to walk away from what is good. That's just the way we are. That's our nature. Our nature is to walk away from what's good. So I said all of that just to say this. Love one another. Love one another. It's as simple a message as any ever was preached. I want you to walk out the door with this. Sometimes I watch a movie and it makes me remember some part of my life that I thought was important but that I had lost somewhere along the way. Sometimes I watch a movie, and adults, maybe you'll understand this. Sometimes I watch a movie and it makes me remember how much I love my spouse. Like, just watching the movie makes me remember that. Or sometimes watching a movie, I remember how much I appreciate my parents, because they did a pretty good job, all things considered. So sometimes I watch that show, and it makes me think of that. And here's what I want you guys to think of when you walk out the door. I want you to be reminded of how much you love each other. Even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, even when they do something that's so, so dumb. Love each other. Love each other. It's hard being a kid, right? Say amen if it's hard to be a kid. That was so sad. Apparently it's not that hard to be a kid. It's also hard to be a parent. It's also hard to be a parent. So let me pray for us, and we're going to dismiss. And what I want you to do is, I want you to get in touch with your parent if you're young, and your kid if you're a parent. I want you to lay hands upon them. I want you to embrace. I want you to remember that you love each other. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful that you have shown us the way. That sometimes it's hard to be a parent. Sometimes it's hard to be a kid. But you've shown us the way to do both things. You've shown us how to excel at both things. You've shown us how to love our children means to discipline them, and that's not always easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. And to love our parents means that we are to obey them, and that's not always easy. Sometimes that's so hard, especially when it doesn't even make sense. I pray pray that you give us the strength to continue on despite what we feel sometimes, that our love for one another would grow, that you would help us as students to be more obedient, that it may well go well with us, and help us as parents to love our kids in all ways. I pray you be with us tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen.